I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello there and welcome to the Thursday, the 5th of May edition of the Irish Farmers Journal Farming News podcast. I'm Barry Murphy, news correspondent here on the team. Grass is moving in most parts of the country this week, and on this week's episode we're going to discuss how farmers are set to be paid up to €1,000 to make hay and silage this year. We'll ask if the Minister's new €55 million scheme will be enough and why dairy farmers are excluded. Beef editor Adam Olds is with us to discuss a U-turn in hawkish advice for suckler farmers in light of rising input costs. We'll also go through this week's beef trends as prices push past that €5 per kg mark. Our news team will discuss the issues of young farmers and how Macra might address them, along with stolen calves in Roscommon, the state of play of the CAP plan and ongoing unease amongst IFA members over the leadership's pay increases. And finally, we'll hear from the Minister of State for Heritage, Malcolm Noonan, who launched the new €55 million revamp of the National Parks and Wildlife Service on Wednesday. And news for paper on the shelves this week. First up, we'll bring in beef editor Adam Woods, who is with us to discuss the U-turn in hawkish advice on stocking rates for suckler farmers in light of rising input costs. Adam, it wouldn't be the first time farmers have been advised to do one thing, only for that advice to change to the opposite at a later date. I gather the hawkish analysis indicates that less is now more for the suckler farmers. What can you tell us?
Yeah, Barry, I guess this is really interesting analysis, and I suppose it's a function of where we are in relation to input prices and output prices. Paul Crossan, who is beef enterprise leader in Chagas and Grain, he's really good at modelling systems and modelling different scenarios in terms of going forward. And the big question on everybody's lips at the moment in the beef world is, does the beef price increase that we're seeing, does it fully compensate us for the higher input prices that we're seeing on farms in terms of fertiliser, meal, contractor, diesel, energy? Paul inputted, I guess, prices in 2020, and then he inputted prices in 2022, and what it shows is that I suppose lower stock farms see a 28% increase in net margin from 274 a hectare in 2020 to 351 a hectare in 2022. They're stocked about 1.6 higher stock livestock units to the hectare. Higher stock farms, on the other hand, sees their margin move in the other direction with a 17% drop from 440 a hectare to 367. And much of this drop is due to higher fertilizer prices, higher volumes being spread on higher stock farms. I guess the analysis looked at a beef price in 2020 of 375 a kilo, concentrated 255, urea 390, and silage contractor costs at 250 a hectare. We all know we're a long way away from that at the moment. And in terms of 2022, Paul put in 450 for a base price for beef, 330 for concentrates a ton, 950 a ton for urea, and the silage contractor coming in at 350 a ton. So it's really, really alarming, I guess, to see higher stock farms now in a worse position in 2022. Given the where beef price has gone, but the input prices and the higher amount of inputs that's gone on to them, more higher stock farms isn't compensating, we'll say, for that higher prices.
Thanks, Adam. We have a few not so productive cows here at home at the moment who might get their ticket out the gap on that one. And look, just sticking with beef prices at the moment, Adam, we see them tip above that €5 per kg mark in some parts this week. Trade is still going well. Are cattle in short supply, or what's happening?
Yeah, I guess Finnish cattle are in short supply, but we've seen a really high kill. Like, the kill is up 60,000 for the first couple of months of 2022. That's unprecedented. Borbia had estimated that we'd be somewhere around 80,000 for the year. So that's really positive for the end of the year if we're up already 62,000. An awful lot of cows in that. The cow kill is up 25,000. But really, this has been fueled by demand, and demand across the UK and demand across Europe. The UK kill is down 7% year on year, which is leading big gaps, I guess, in the UK market. We're filling those up. And also in Europe, the beef price is really on fire over there. In terms of, if we look at, you know, Polish bulls are up 160 to 180 a kilo compared to this time last year, and that's, I guess, down to some shortages across the European market. We're seeing less pressure coming into the European market from South American imports, and that's leaving us again in a better position to go over there. And because we're going into that high price market, it means that beef prices here are improving. And yeah, we'll say Donegal meats, foil meats in Donegal took a 10 cent jump this week. Again, that's very unusual to see prices jump 10 cent in 1 week, and I'd expect them to go more, because as I said, Finnish cattle very, very tight, very, very strong manufacturing trade. We're coming into barbecue season, and supplies of Finnish cattle are tight.
Thanks, Adam. I suppose all the beef farmers will take every bit of that anyway. Heading to Acting News Editor Amy Ford next, folks. Amy, you've been speaking with Minister McConlog this week on her second page one story. You're saying that farmers are set to be paid up to €1,000 to make hay and silage this year. Can you tell us what we know about the scheme so far and what the minister has to say about it?
Yeah, sure, Barry. So that's correct. There's a €55 million fodder scheme basically on the table now, in order to ensure there's enough fodder basically in the country for next winter and next spring. It's part of, I suppose, a range of measures that the department have recently announced. You know, we had the tillage incentive scheme and multi-species sword scheme, red clover as well. In this case, the payment rate is going to be €100 per hectare for up to 10 hectares of hay and silage this year grown under the scheme. It's going to be for beef and sheep farmers only. It's targeted those two sectors. Dairy farmers are excluded from applying. And Minister for Agriculture Charlie McConlogue has told the Farmers Journal this week that the scheme is currently being finalised. So it might be a couple of weeks until applications are actually open and you can apply. But it'll be the latter half of the year before payments are made to farmers. There'll be a maximum payment of €1,000 per farmer. That's for the 10 hectares. And just to quantify that, if a farmer had 5 hectares of silage ground and had 2 cuts off it, they will qualify for the maximum payment, because they're basically cutting 10 hectares all in. How will the department verify that farmers are complying with the scheme? Basically, they're still working that out as well, but he has said that satellite inspections could be deployed to ensure farmer compliance in the scheme. If I just go back, Barry, as to why farmers from the dairy sector are excluded from the scheme, the minister said that there's more of a challenge essentially in relation to beef and sheep farms. Assessments by Chagask and his department, they're showing that there's not enough plans in place essentially there, or fodder going to be saved or fertiliser bought to push grass on. On the other hand, dairy farmers, the assessment shows that the sector is in relatively good stead in terms of good fodder being saved, good plans in play, and that the increase in milk prices this year compared to 2021 is addressing increased costs in the dairy sector currently. So that's kind of the bit of the scheme. That's where it is. Hopefully it'll open sooner rather than later. But again, payments will be in the latter half of the year. And I suppose if we put the €1,000 into context, you know, fertiliser prices are still running very high. They've skyrocketed compared to last year. Depending on what you're buying, you could be talking about €900 or €1,000 a tonne for sure for certain fertilisers. So paying it at the end of the year then is another thing. That price isn't going to really be offset until later in the year.
Thanks, Amy. Look, you'd see a few complaints from the dairy side on that one anyway. Our news team, Rachel Donovan. Rachel, I know, look, you were speaking to the Irish Creamy Milk Suppliers Association, or the ICMSA, during the week on the exclusion of dairy farmers from this scheme. They're saying it's a disgrace that they've been left out. How unhappy are they?
Yeah, Barry, I suppose not only did they say that it was a disgrace, they're saying that the decision to exclude them from the scheme, it was ridiculous. President of ICMSA, Pat McCormack, he said the decision demonstrated, I suppose, the animosity held by what he feels by the government towards the dairy sector, which he described as the most commercially successful sector in the state. McCormack said the decision means government is saying that hobby farmers are more deserving of the €1,000 payment than, I suppose, full-time dairy farmers with 30 to 40 cows trying to make a living. He alluded to a certain multi-billionaire executive who has a hobby interest in pedigree cattle. I'm sure we can all stab a guess as to who that is, but I suppose overall McCormack is saying that they made a strategic error by excluding dairy farmers from the aid. based on figures from a survey. You know, I suppose dairy farmers have been excluded previously from the BEAM scheme, and McCormick is saying that being excluded from this fodder scheme is the latest in a lengthening list of government actions that indicate that the dairy sector is going to be again discriminated against.
Interesting, Rachel. Look, I think we have figures from Togish to come as well in a couple of weeks on the profits dairy farmers are making or the forecast for the year. So it'll be interesting to see how they all turn out. And just sticking with yourself, Rachel, you report on page 7 that a farmer in Roscommon had 8 calves stolen from his farm last week. We also saw last week that farmers in Meath had near 60 sheep stolen from their fields in a similar way. What had the farmer in Roscommon to say about it, and what are Gardaí doing about these kind of thefts?
Yeah, so I spoke to Pádraig Malloy during the week. He had 8 bull calves stolen from farmland in Drum, just outside Athlone in County Roscommon, last Thursday night. He told me he was absolutely devastated. These were the only calves he has on the farm. He buys November-born calves and he rears them until they're a year and a half. And he had just gotten rid of 10 bullocks recently, so I suppose in that sense he was lucky that the whole lot weren't taken, but these are the last 8 calves he had in the farm. He said these people had to have known the calves were there. He said it was down a lane. You wouldn't have just stumbled upon them. There was other valuables there that weren't touched. There was a cattle trailer, a car trailer. There was a vacant house near the field, and other tools like chainsaws and stuff that they didn't go near. So as he said, he's convinced it's within the farming community, and described it as a farmer turning against a farmer in a rural area. So I suppose to identify the calves, one had ringworm around his eye, and they were a mixture of Angus and black whiteheads. So Gardaí are aware of the incident, and they're currently investigating the theft. But I suppose he just has to wait and see what happens.
Does farmers have enough going on with that kind of hardship, Rachel? Thanks a million. Look, folks, we'll head to news correspondent Noel Barden next. Noel, you've been looking at the department's CAP plan, the European Commission's review of it, their feedback, and now the department's response. Can you first explain to listeners where the CAP plan is now at, and then maybe bring us through the detail of Aghouse's defence of it?
So essentially, the CAP plan had been delivered to Brussels. Brussels took a look at it, and then the European Commission, you could think of it that they sent it back to Dublin along with a couple of notes on pieces that need to be tidied up or further evidence that needs to be provided by the department to justify some of the measures included in the plan. So essentially the plan is back in Dublin, if you want to think of it like that, to be amended and to be tidied up. I suppose the European Commission's initial observations, which you would have discussed on the podcast back maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, the department has published its response to these observations. It was published last Thursday, and in it basically the department kind of defends the targets it included in the plan, as well as some of the definitions it put on different aspects of the measures included in it. A couple of areas that came up that might be of note where listeners would be the department's comments on direct payments. The department said to the commissioner basically that redistributing direct payments, it poses particular and difficult challenges to a sizable cohort of farmers here in Ireland. They said that our kind of entitlement system, it's complex, it's multi-layered, and they really emphasised that direct payments, they are in something of, you know, they are something of a unique system here in Ireland, the way it they might not necessarily be in other member states. It also said that it does need to be careful when reforming direct payment systems, because there are a lot of small farms in Ireland which although they have a high per hectare entitlement value, overall they're small farms, so they wouldn't have overly large payments across the entire land area. And I suppose on direct payments, to back up these bits and pieces, it will provide figures on the combined effects of all the measures it has proposed for Pillar 1 payments, and it will show the Commission basically what will be done to farm payments should all of its proposals included in the plan. come through in 2023. Another aspect of the observation letter, which we would have discussed in the podcast here a couple of weeks ago, was the commission's basically the commission pointing out that the plan seemingly lacked ambition and that higher targets could have been included around environmental parameters. In response to this, the department said that, you know, there's an eco scheme there that's open to all farmers. It has increased the minimum standards that farmers must reach under the new cap, as well as pointing to the Pillar 2 scheme, the proposed agri-environmental climate measure, and the environmental benefits it said will be brought about with this. It said that it appreciated the Commission acknowledging that increasing the area under organics from 2% up to 7.5% by 2027. It appreciated the Commission's acknowledgement that that would be a difficult task and that there were challenges there. I suppose other than this, the dairy sector, which came up quite a bit in the Commission's observations, the department had said that the long-term sustainability of the dairy sector will be addressed outside of the plan through other policies, such as the Food Vision 2030 policy and the proposals or the recommendations put forward by the Food Vision Dairy Group. And forestry was another area which it said wasn't really addressed in the CAP plan, but it would be addressed by other policies that will come from Dublin rather than being included in the CAP plan. And these two areas of dairy and forestry, they said they will ensure that any of these additional policies will complement the plan and they'll be coherent with it. So they have said they will ensure that there won't be any friction between elements of the agricultural sector that's included in the CAP plan and those which are addressed outside of it. So that's fairly well where we're standing now. The CAP stakeholders group did discuss the plan about a week ago. I think it could have been last Thursday. And now the department is engaged in ongoing discussions with the Commission on more technical aspects of the plan and ironing out any of these difficulties that the Commission sees in the proposed plan.
Thanks, Noel. A lot to be worked out in that one still. And look, I know you've more of it on page 4 too. And finally, we'll head to our political correspondent, Pat O'Toole. Pat, you have a few updates for listeners this week. We might start with your sit down on page 9 with Mocha President John Keane. I think it's fair to say Keane has performed well during his time leading the Young Farmer organisation so far. And look, we know that Mocha also recently appointed a new CEO. He tells you that the lack of young farmers getting into the sector is a ticking time bomb. Can you run through the interview with Keane, please?
Sure. I suppose, look, the reason we talked this week, Mocha now, after 2 years of lockdown, they're trying to reactivate their 11,000 members, get them involved in their competitions, get them out engaging with each other socially again. They have a new CEO and a new CFO, and they're cranking up, I suppose. So, but in terms of farming issues, huge concern at the low numbers of Irish farmers under 35 and the low, as he saw it, the low level of ambition in terms of improving that figure. Even if we hit our target, which is for roughly a 20% increase in the number of farmers in their own right under 35, by the end of the new cap in 2028, we'll still be under 5%. And he compared that to the likes of Austria or Finland, where they're already over 10% and they're trying to get up into the high teens during the current cap to almost double their numbers. He said that if you had a similar proportion where only 1 in 20 people working in healthcare or in education were under 35, it would be a national emergency, there'd be a task force, there'd be primetime specials. And yet in agriculture, it seems to be a shrug of the shoulders. And while there is a lot of talk, and he accepts that the minister recognises the issues and is pledging to tackle them, he wants to see action.
Yeah, I suppose that's a very fair comment on the, you know, if there was that little, yeah, or that few young teachers or young nurses or doctors, there would be uproar about it. You'd hope the minister does get moving on something on that front soon. And Pat, look, just very briefly, on page 7, we see more of those motions put forward by IFA members around the country asking National Council to review the recent pay increases awarded to the association's leadership, with Meath and Waterford being the latest. Cavan IFA are meeting on Monday night, and Wexford Chair Gerald Matney has been telling me he sees it very likely to come up at his county executive meeting the same night. Are IFA leadership keeping the heads down on this one and hoping it goes away, or is it just going to fizzle out?
Very hard to say. I think it's not going to fizzle out because there's motions going to National Council. So it will be revisited at National Council because County Chairman will be mandated to bring it to Council. And we already have motions, and there's other motions in train that we know of. There's a lot of different issues in play here. I suppose if you look at the reporting from the meeting in Meath, the fact that the Monaghan County Chair was brought along by Frank Brady, who was the previous Monaghan Chair and is now the regional chair to the recent Meath executive, that irked Meath members. Has to be remembered, Meath is the home county of both Eddie Downey and Pat Smith. It's a very sensitive subject. Remuneration of IFA is a very, very sensitive subject in Meath. There's been two Meath IFA presidents, Tom Clinton and Eddie Downey, both resigned, and a lot of unfinished business there, I think. But there was resentment that Frank Brady, who defeated the recent Meath chairman, John Curran, brought an outsider, if you like, into the Meath meeting to speak against any motion of censure or any motion of displeasure at the pay increases being brought forward. We've seen Waterford, where they talked about their dissatisfaction with the recent cap outcome, but the Waterford chairman made it clear that they're not getting into the remuneration of the CEO, Damien MacDonald, that it's the volunteer members, President Tim Cullinan and Deputy President Brian Rush, and it's their remuneration that they're unhappy about in the light of the cap negotiations, which they feel let Waterford, which it was has the highest average cap payment in the country, the recent negotiations let them down, and the IFA didn't represent the perspective of Waterford farmers, if you like. So there's a lot going on, a lot of issues being brought to the table, and we have to remember right through the cap negotiations and the introduction of the climate action plan and the recent nitrates and the move from where dairy expansion was foot to the floor to where it's effectively over now, there's been very little in terms of face-to-face meetings in IFA at county level and at national level, an awful lot of these meetings on Zoom. So there's probably issues which are bubbling under that are going to come out in the months to come. And it may be through this pay issue that all of that stuff becomes discussed.
Thanks, Pat. We're going to change the subject now altogether. We're out with the launch of a new strategic action plan for the National Parks and Wildlife Service by Minister for Heritage Malcolm Noonan on Wednesday in Kilkenny. The plan is backed by €55 million in an additional investment for the NPWS over the next 3 years, which will aid their early recruitment of 60 new key staff for the service. Minister Noonan told us that the plan will lead to more ranger boots on the ground to work in collaboration with farmers. We hear from him now. Brilliant, Minister Barry Murphy here from the Farmers General. Thank you very much for your time. I just have a few questions in relation to the farming community. I suppose, first of all, what does the new plan mean for farmers in Ireland?
Well, what it means is a significant critical level of ongoing engagement. We're in a very really critical time for the farming community. I met with the farm organisations with the Designated Area Monitoring Committee a number of weeks ago in the Custom House. Very positive engagement. And that's one thing I want to ensure that we continue doing, that level of engagement around designations. We have a significant level of ambition within the new EU restoration law, within the National Biodiversity Action Plan. But we can't do that without the support of the farming community. And we want to make sure that, obviously, the resources are important. But what I think is equally important is that level of engagement. And I think that we in MPWS are committed to working with the farming community to, have a less adversarial approach and a much more collaborative approach around designations and around biodiversity on farms. And we know that from that engagement that the farming community wants to do the right thing. They want to be supported to do the right thing. We think the farm plan schemes are really wonderful because there's a great buy-in from farmers on them, and we'd love to see them expanded over future years. So we will be fighting for that in future budgets as well.
Perfect. Minister, in terms of the new 60 new roles or 60 new recruits, how many of those will be farmer-facing, do you envisage?
We hope that there will be significant in terms of balance. We want to try and ensure that there's good coverage of rangers on the ground, boots on the ground across the national parks, across the country. That there's full coverage. Obviously, some will be in science and biodiversity. We would hope that we would have achieved in that 60 intake. That is really to deal with immediate risks and looking where those deficits are across the country. So there will be. I think what we found over the last year in particular, we look at the additional rangers we've taken in over the last. In the last tranche, I think we've seen a very good feedback in terms of, I've heard this both from direct engagement with the farm organisations, that they're finding that better level of engagement. That's what they want. It's what they want from the Department of Agriculture, what they want from us. So I want to make sure that there's that the engagement on the ground and the engagement at political level is strong and consistent.
Perfect. And just in terms of that engagement, and I know you mentioned it in your speech as well on improved external communications, what kind of mechanisms or approaches are you looking at for improving communication, say, with the likes of farming stakeholders going forward?
Yeah, I think certainly the face-to-face contact, nothing can beat that. And, you know, I've been travelling the country with some of our staff, meeting farmers and landowners, and that's been really useful. The one thing they find is that direct personal contact. But equally, I think we can do a lot more on wildlife crime using phone app technology, using our ICT systems, improving our web-based material, social media. All of that, in my view, I think can be stepped up a gear over the next number of years, and it's certainly in the plan here as well.
It'll be interesting to see how that performs now going forward. Folk, looks that's all we have time for this week. Remember, you can also tune into our Down to Argue Business podcast for this week. Jack Kennedy, Anne Finnegan and Fiona O'Neill discuss the EU ban on Russian oil imports and what it means for Irish business. They also look at the threat presented to Irish exports due to the UK's New Zealand trade deal. More on those stories and everything discussed today in this week's paper. Thanks for listening, and talk to you the next time.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.